You're listening to The New Day, Feel the Power. Here's one of our favorite episodes, and you can check out more from the archives on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Live from a Zoom call emanating from Atlanta, Georgia, Lando Lakes, Florida, and the great city of Lenexa, Kansas. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the new day. Feel the power. Take it away,
wow.
Fellas.
Wow. Okay. Yes. So we've had a regression.
Yes.
Wow.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it. Don't start the pot off all sour and bitter. Let's get some energy. I love to hear it. There's some backstory, by the way, to this, Lenexa, Kansas. Before, as you had to reboot your computer before we started recording. But anyways, Mr. Reichert, Dan, who, you know, did the intro, he told me that that is the town that both he and Baron Corbin are from. And it's a very small town. And then Baron Corbin sold out when he got to the main roster and just decided to be billed from Kansas City. But he's a fraud. He is a fraud. He's not from Kansas City. He's from Lenexa. So you know, claim who you are. Claim your city. Claim your town. Just because it's a little podunk town doesn't mean it's not worth claiming. And I mean, it's probably not a podunk town.
Hey,
I'm sure it's lovely. I'm sure it's lovely.
For your dollar to live there.
But what was, I mean, look, I'm not Kofi, you know. I'm not Kofi
Burton. Whoa, don't try to pass the heat now. Go on, now you're digging yourself a fine hole, sir. But
I'm trying to say, what is the reason that he would not claim Lenexa? Because
it's easier. It's easier for people to understand. When you go do interviews or something, I could say, I'm from Marietta. I say it's from Atlanta, so because it takes out like 9/10 of an unnecessary conversation.
Right.
Oh, yeah, well, where's that? It's like 20 minutes outside of the city. Oh, east or west? Like you don't really care.
You don't care.
You're filling time. I don't need that. I'm from Atlanta. Okay, cool.
There's a certain level of authenticity though when you say that you're from Marietta, right?
Yeah, and when I'm in situations where I feel like it's relevant, you know, I let people know Marietta is the place that I grew up.
Wait, where are you built from? Are you still Bill from
Atlanta? I was at Angel Grove, California, for a while.
Angel Grove.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's a lot of Easter eggs in my wrestling. That's my main focus.
Power Rangers. Power Rangers town.
Right. I know this because I actually remember that he was from... You acted like you've never heard of the Angel Grove, so you try to turn it on me like I didn't know. But the fact that you didn't realize he was Bill from Angel Grove once is actually on you.
I didn't know he was billed from there, but when he said it, I said, wow, I popped for it because it's Power Rangers. Of course I would know what Angel Grove
was. But how could you not know where he was billed from? We've been together since 2014.
I don't listen to where people are billed from.
That was the before times.
I couldn't tell you where anybody was billed from, to be honest.
Not even me?
Well, just Tampa, Florida.
Exactly, exactly.
But nobody else, literally nobody else.
Yeah, and you're not from a fictional place.
Yeah, but it's so unique.
You actually live there. You actually, but I'm saying you should know because we wrestled so much and we heard that said over the speakers as we're, that was pre hanging out with Kofi.
During the New Day's run, when you were the singles, they never billed you from Angel Grove.
I'm pretty sure. Because when I said, I remember one day I told JoJo, I was like, oh, so it'll probably be easier to start saying Atlanta because people in the office have started like asking me questions. She goes,
they're on to me.
It's annoying. And so I was like, so just saying from Atlanta. She goes, oh, I have to go get that cleared. And I said, Angel Grove's not a real place. This is where I'm really from. Like, I didn't have to ask to say where I was from, that I was from Angel Grove. Why do I? It was done. I was done.
I think, why did you want to change it? I think you should have kept it.
No, I don't know. I think I was still in that. My brain was still in conforming times.
Yeah.
I got to be in my box and be like everybody so I can get ahead in the business. Nah, I'm over it.
I was about to say, how the times have changed.
Bro,
based on the conversation we just had.
Yeah. I love wrestling. It's fantastic. But dude, I'm not trying to live anybody else's life. Like I have a blast doing what I'm doing with y'all. That's literally the only thing that matters to me. Like, yeah. I could not care less about somebody else's opinion. As long as we are having fun and smiling and having a good time, it doesn't matter to me.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Also, thank you for saying I could care less.
Yes.
Because yeah,
it's a word.
That bothers me. Maybe there's an origin. Again, going back to etymology. Maybe there's an origin of the term that makes it make some sense. But when people say I could care less and they don't mean it in that way, it irks me.
It is kind of irksome.
I think it's like, what is it? It's antisocial and asocial. People always say, yes. Oh, they're antisocial. Like, no, you mean asocial. But then at this point in time, is it just so common in the English vernacular that we should just accept antisocial as what they mean it as?
No. We can never regress. We can never let up because that word, it means something. If it's, I'm trying to think of an acceptable word that we can change the meaning of. Because A and anti are different. If you burn down homes and you cut down trees, then yes, you are antisocial. Yes. When you are trying to actively destroy the structures of society, then I will agree with you that you are antisocial. If you are asocial, that means you don't like a lot of social interaction. It's very easy. Same thing as asexual, is you don't have, you know, sexual react. I shouldn't have gone down the asexual thing.
I'm trying to keep it clean,
but also be sensitive to the definition because there are people who are actually asexual. So let me move away from that. But anyways, I do staunchly agree with you. We talked about this years ago and our annoyance with people who use the term antisocial when they mean asocial. So use your words correctly, please, people.
This is weird. So I opened up my email when we started and I had a new email from 23andMe saying I had new relatives. Have you guys done this?
Yeah, I did. What's the other one?
Ancestry.com?
Ancestry.com, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did that one. Yeah.
Have you done it, E?
I have not. Do you have to give your DNA? You do have.
Yeah. So you do. Yeah. It's like they send you like two vials and you just like, remember you used to spit in like a Gatorade bottle for wrestling?
I recall.
Are you shaking your head?
I'm just saying, the ability for these people to clone you, to make an army of clones. I don't know, bruh. I don't know. Even though Rob did have me spit in a tube last week, but he's very convincing. Rob McIntyre, who we trained under for years. Just because he likes to, I think it was for some kind of testing on your athletic abilities or whatnot. Yeah. I don't really recall. He explains things to me and I kind of listen, but then he just says, he'll text me like a few days later, can I come over? And I completely forgot the reason why. And he's like en route anyways. Like, I don't ever really tell him no. I trust him not to clone me, hopefully. So,
Because you want to be,
So he tells you, hey, remember you agreed to do this thing that you don't remember? Yeah, sure, let's do it. We're going through like a service that tells us like all these stats about our health and our genetics. And it's weird that we're doing that.
Yeah, I know Rob. Do you know these people? Do you trust these people?
No, but I get to see my stats from where, of all the places I'm from.
That is pretty cool.
Rob is not the one who's actually like, I'm sure he sends it out, right? So.
Yeah, but he does his research and whatnot. So these people are very nice.
You act like he's in the lab just like taking up little molecules and be like, yes, this is why he lifts this much weight.
Would you put him in this Rob dish? to have his own lab? In that
you
trailer,
know what? I wouldn't be surprised. It's funny that
Yeah, fair. When you say it like that,
there's a chance.
So when I clicked on it, it wouldn't load like my new relatives. I'm excited to see if I got some. But I clicked on my ancestry because I couldn't remember. And it shows you the percentage of like what you are. So like I'm 73.9% sub-Saharan African. So 65% of my genetics are West African. Yep. And then 8% is Congolese and Southern East African. And then I'm 23% European.
Wow.
That explains a lot. Not before I did this.
Really? 23% I would imagine means you probably have a great-grandfather who is at least mixed or...
No, like, so I did this and I think my dad was more when he did it, but they didn't have any recollection of anybody from Europe, like in the bloodline. So like, obviously there is, but it's like, back further or we just don't know, you know?
I'm fascinated now.
It's very interesting because it shows you like the map and everything. And so there's like this place that I'm 0.01% from Cypriot. I'm butchering it. Cypriot. And I click, it's this tiny little island I've never heard of before. So now I'm going to like be Googling it the rest of the day.
Right.
Cyprus is spelled C-Y-P-R. So is it Cypriot? I don't know. I'm probably butchering it as well.
No clue.
Yeah, that stuff is real interesting, man. Especially, so two things. When I did it, you know, how it'll tell you like the circles in which you were from. And it says like you're kind of probably from wherever, like the intersection of the circles. I had two circles. One that went in Ghana and the other one was, I think, Tobago. No, not Tobago. What's next to Ghana? Y'all don't know.
I'm terrible with geography.
I'll have to look it up. Anyway, but it, like the intersection of it was like right in the middle of Ghana. And that was it. Nothing else. Nothing else, you know? So, yeah, maybe.
Togo.
Yeah, and it was like right in between. So, sometimes you wonder like, oh, well, I got to be like maybe 1% European or South American or whatever. And for me, it was legit two circles and the intersection was like right in the middle of Ghana. So
that's wild.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it's like a badge of honor. I'm a pure blood, you know what I'm saying? But it's just interesting to see like that they can like tell that stuff. And even now with like babies too. So you can take a sample for, I don't know if it's like a blood test or a DNA test, but for what your baby is going to look like, what eye color they are, what kind of personality they have, what kind of temperament they might have. They can figure out all that stuff, which is wild, you know?
I can't. That's messing with too much.
Yeah.
That's like that movie, what's Gattaca? Do you remember that movie?
Yeah. Well, I remember the name, but I don't really remember seeing it.
So like when you're born, they take your DNA and they put it in a computer and it tells you what job you're going to have, what socioeconomic status you're going to have. And so if it says, okay, you're going to be a janitor, like you're not allowed to be anything but that. Or okay, if you're going to be a scientist, you're not going to be anything but that. So it's very intense. And it's this guy's story of who he's not supposed to be an astronaut, but he gets this guy's skin cells and stuff. And he's got this arrangement with him to kind of try to pass so that he can go to space. And it's very interesting, but stuff like that freaks me out, dude. We shouldn't know that stuff.
Yeah, right.
Well,
right.
Do you remember the Human Genome Project?
Vaguely.
Okay, so anyways, it was, and I'm definitely going to butcher this. So if anyone's interested, do your research because I'm going to bungle this for sure. But I know there was a concerted effort. Yeah, I said bungle. There was a concerted effort by scientists to map the human genome. And I think by doing so, it just allows for more innovations like being able to manipulate down the road human genes. I'm definitely butchering this, so look into it and don't listen to me. But I think it's really interesting the more information we gather about our DNA structures and our ability to predict DNA and all that is really interesting. I also wanted to go back to your point. This is not really the same thing as like ancestry but anything. Anyways, I recently discovered there's a pop singer, she's British, named Jade Ewan. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting last name, but she's mixed. She's British, and born in like 87, I think. But her mom, she retained her mom's last name, and her mom is Jamaican. So I wondered how many Jamaicans are there? Her mom is Jamaican and dark skin. Like maybe she's a relative of mine. I have no idea. I haven't reached out to her. I'm just very curious. But I don't, Ewan, I think is a Scottish name. I just can't fathom that there are that many Jamaican Ewans, but I could be wrong. So maybe we're related. Maybe it's nothing. Our parents should be roughly, if she's born in 87, I'm in 86. I would imagine her mom is probably close to the same age as, and I know so little about my father's side of the family, so it intrigued me. Like, hey, is this random woman who's a pop star on the other side of the world? At least she was like in a girl group or something. But anyways, that's the extent of my searching for my my branches.
Well, now I bet you people are going to go out and try to find out and connect y'all, you know?
Yep,
we'll see.
They're going to find all your family members.
Yeah, yeah.
You got family members all over in different countries. They're all doing different professions and things.
Yeah. Maybe.
Do you think any of them have the Langston name?
Well, don't get me started on that one. That is it's a work name, as you know. So it would not actually be blood related, but yeah, I need to do some digging.
Yeah, on the Langston. Oh, because we forgot. I am Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed,
and I am Kofi Kingston.
Yes, and I guess because we were mentioning Langston, it's time for the intros. I am B. That is the name given to me. That is the name that I'm trying to make the best of. You know, I'm trying to make a living with this here name. It means a lot. You know, when someone gives you a name, that's a big deal. And it's not like we're actors who play a role and just move on from that role and take on another role. I can't just take on another name. I'm just Biggie. I'm stuck with this. I'll forever be, at least, you know, I'll forever be tied to Biggie. Forever. Forever. But the Langston, not so much. Not so much.
Sorry, now I'm looking at the relatives, and I have two new relatives that I have to now reach out to. Third cousin.
Third cousins. Yeah.
Third cousin. So second great grandparents. So far away.
So you have their names here?
Yeah.
Do they provide addresses or any other information?
No, like, so you have a profile, so I can message them on this and be like, hey, since we're third cousins, it's pretty far away. So it's like, hey, there's a possibility that we could be related. Then we chat, like, hey, who do you know? This person. Oh yeah, that person's my grandma. Oh my God, what? Oh, that's crazy. Do you want to meet in Vegas for a family reunion when all the stuff goes away? Yeah, sure, cool.
I think the fear for me with something like that is these people are actually horrible people, or they want to steal your identity or your money. It's a real crapshoot just reaching out, especially you.
It is.
Being a public figure, it's very easy to say, hey, even if you have no idea who you are, it's easy to Google you and say, oh, this dude has some money. He has something I can get out of him. And I don't know. It's a bit unsettling.
True. Very true. It is unsettling. Yeah. It's not like you can go back. You know what I'm saying? No. Like, erase the conversation.
Right. Especially when you reach out now. Like, if they reached out to me, then I could take my time replying. I could say no. But if you reach out to me and then something I do you don't like, I'm kind of like, hey, you're the one who started this bridge. You built the bridge. Let me cross the bridge. Just because you don't like the other side.
Too bad. You want to throw me away?
You built this bridge. Now I'm going to walk all across the bridge. You can't throw me away. I will not be thrown away. I will not be discarded.
So I just want to make sure that we're not always living in fear. I don't want to be asocial, you know?
Thank you for using that term correctly. See that there? I appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's right. It's probably the right perspective to be adventurous.
You're also right, though, too.
You never know. I'm just saying, you never know.
We'll say there's two sides to every coin.
Right.
There we go.
I'm intrigued. If you do, please chronicle this meeting.
Yeah. I got to think about it. It's always... Because you are totally right. You're never sure. Because, like, obviously, I'd always just, like, talk to my parents first and be like, hey, does this sound right? And I go, oh, no. Then I just stay away. But if it does, then maybe there's a reach out. Maybe there's not.
Okay. You're very intrigued. I'd like to know. Just as a quiet head nod.
Go do it right now.
Yeah.
I was like,
reach out right now.
This is not going to resolve itself within the time frame of this podcast. So we can move on.
It could though.
We'll see. Have you guys seen, you saw A Quiet Place when it came out, right?
No.
What is A Quiet Place?
What's his name from The Office, Jim?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Emily Blunt's husband.
Yeah. And so it's this movie about these monsters that show up on Earth for whatever reason. And when they hear sound, they attack and kill. Right. But if they're like big bugs, like think like Starship Troopers. but if you're quiet and silent, they can't sense you. And so it's people like there's like three sentences in the whole movie. It's all quiet, but it's so good. Like my God, it's so good.
Really?
So the second one was supposed to come out last year, but then obviously all the stuff went down and they dropped a date. I saw a commercial the other day. It's coming out, I think, on the 28th and like coming out in theaters too. So it's like, this is interesting. Things are like opening up and like things we want to experience are happening again. Like, this is weird.
Whoa.
It feels like that's just the visual? Well, I guess Bird Box had to do with sight. Mm-hmm. And this has to do with, is it the same concept, essentially? A very similar concept?
In the most common of denominators, yes. But very different movies. Bird Box was interesting to me. A Quiet Place is incredible to me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was. It's one of my favorite horror movies, I'll say. It's really good.
It's a horror movie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me intrigue.
Yeah. I've not seen Bird Box at all.
It was real popular.
I heard it was pretty good.
For a minute. It was real hot. Everyone was talking about Bird Box.
I feel like you guys were talking about it in the car one time. And I don't know. That's the extent of the memory I have.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. Yes.
Well, because I don't want to be like, I don't know if I said like, oh yeah, I'll go out, I'll watch that. And then like, I never watched it, you know?
We're going to call you out.
So yeah, you said you watched it. But I thought what you said.
Yeah, it's a novel as well. So I think when we were talking about it, I think I read the book first and then watched the movie, which are you guys book readers and then movie watchers, or do you have a preference, or do you care at all?
I've never done it purposefully. I did it with Guardians, I suppose. If you want to qualify that as a Guardians of the Galaxy, want to qualify that as a book. But when I read it, I did not know that the movie was coming.
Right.
So I never intentionally like, I'll read the book before I watch the movie. Feels like a waste of my time.
Because realistically, you're just going to complain, right? Because they never are like parallel, right? They're never the actual same. But I feel like, you know, Walking Dead, for example, same thing. Like I read those books. And then when the series was coming out, I said, oh, this is going to be great. This is awesome. And, you know, for a while it was. And then when the series caught up to like where the book was, they had to make decisions. And I don't know. I feel like it's just like a grounds to complain, right? Like, is the movie ever better than the book?
I'm sure there are instances.
Huh.
Don't ask me to think.
I will say, and I don't care what anyone says to me about this. So I really enjoyed the Twilight books. It's a thing. It's not necessarily a love story. There's a lot of stories involved in it that they don't talk about in the movies. Like at one point, I think in like the third book, there's a vampire named Jasper, and they talk about how when he became a vampire was Civil War times. So while the Civil War was going on between humans, there was also like a Civil War between vampires, and like it's hyper interesting to me, right? That they don't really go into in the movies. But in the last movie, they give you, and if you like Twilight or whatever, don't listen to this because it's spoilers. So in the last book, there's no big fight between everybody. It kind of dissolves. So in the movie, they have a huge fight where like the main guy gets killed instantly. And so like we were in the theater like, and everything breaks out. It was so dope. And so at the end of that fight, it goes into like the main girl's eyeball. And it's like a premonition of something that could happen if she doesn't do what she does in the book. So like we get to see that big fight scene that we didn't get in the movie, but they still gave us the book ending. I thought that was really cool. So I would say like that's a situation where I like the movie version better than the book version.
Gave you both.
Yeah.
I can respect that. I feel like people who watch them or read the books and watch the movie, it's really done out of arrogance. Look at me. I don't just go to the cinema. I also read the source materials. And I spent a lot of time diving through the research. And look at me. And I have a fake British accent now because I read the books before I go to the cinema. Look at me. That's what I think of all those people when they feel the need to tell you that they read the book, that they're not just like you idiots who just plop down in front of a screen. Oh, I actually read. Sure, I'll enjoy lowbrow culture as well, but I'm really highbrow, just so you know. I do a lot of reading with my spectacles. That's what I think of with people who always need to talk about reading the book before going to see the movie.
I feel very attacked right now. I'll say it. But does it make it better? It's like I want that feeling, but I can't stand reading because I just read so much in school, so I only do audiobooks.
Okay, now I feel a little bit better.
You're okay, nice. Cool. Perfect.
Middle ground.
It's really kind of a shame because I used to be a voracious reader, and I guess I read on my phone, but as far as like holding a book in my hand, all the way up until I was 23, from feels like the beginning of life, until I was 23 and got signed. Really, wrestling is what ruined my literacy. That's really what happened. Because as soon as I started wrestling, I got signed. Because I was in grad school, it was all reading and writing. 40-page papers and just reading. And I did so much of that throughout my life. And I did a lot of it for fun. I loved John Grisham as a kid.
Oh, okay.
I would just read a bunch of John Grisham novels as well. Even when I got into when the Star Wars, the original trilogy, was re-released, it became hot again, at least for me. Like I discovered it for the first time and I was really into it. And I would even read like a bunch. I'd go to the library and check out Star Wars books, like official George Lucas books as well. So I was a voracious reader. I loved doing it. But now, man, it's just it's sad that my reading has fallen off a lot. Yeah. So it's when people, I think, so I was also, I feel like those people are also the people who read the books and watch the movies are a little hoity-toity, but it's also me being envious of people.
I was going to say. You're showing yourself.
Just throwing it in my face.
Right, right. Yeah. Right.
I used to be like them.
Yes. But I mean, so I'm trying to think of, I mean, I've read some other things too, but my buddy, Tony Luffman, who used to be an announcer for us.
Love Tony.
Yay. Yes.
Great dude. He sent me a couple Malcolm Gladwell books. And if people send me good books, I'll usually read them. I'll keep them in my backpack when we were on the road a lot. We'd be traveling all the time. It's nice. Because usually I'm most probably 90% of the time I'm on a plane. I'm falling asleep. But the other 10% I'm not, or the time I'm waiting around. Sometimes I would, you know, I'd crack open the book. I forgot who it was. And I'm definitely a friend, so I feel bad. But someone just sent me a book. It's like an encyclopedia on Bill Murray's life. Like an A through Z on all the films or important actors. That it's just like an enjoyable book. So yeah, I mean, I read at times. And then I just read Howard Fine's book on acting. I read during the pandemic. But I don't read voraciously like I used to.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Do y'all remember Book It?
Of course. Don't get me started on Book It because those personal pan pizzas.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I swear. I feel like for the personal pan pizzas, when you completed Book It, or I forgot how.
We got to explain it. Explain it because there's a ton of people who have no clue right. What it is.
Are you explaining right it because I'm going to butcher it?
I am too, but we'll try. Unless Kofi, you got it?
No, I don't.
Okay. No. So essentially it's like a deal that Pizza Hut had with elementary schools and middle schools, maybe. Maybe went up to high school, where if you read like 10 books, that was you trying to push towards your school's or your class's goal. So if you could read like 300 books in a year amongst all your classmates, then you guys would get a pizza party from Pizza Hut. You all get your personal pan pizzas. And it was like, who at the end of the year has worked hard enough? Because it wasn't like you could wait to the last month and then read 15 books, because it was like, no, you actually sit and read and like write or like a report about what you read. So they know that you did this, and you get little stickers every time you had you read a book, and you had a pin that you could put on your shirt at the party that said Book It in big letters, and little, you'd had all your stickers on it. So essentially the person who had the most stickers at the party was the main reason y'all are having the party. So it was like, they would come and pay homage to the person who read the most books. Like, thank just you for being the smartest one in the room. Like, and that was the first time that I ever really realized, like, this is a cool way to like educate kids and make them revere knowledge.
Yeah.
Because what other time can you think of where you go and thank someone for doing work? You know what I mean? Everything's just so expected. And then even in like group projects, people will slack and then someone will pick up the slack and you still get an A and they don't thank them for anything, you know? And this, it's like, no, you got me pizza. I read two books in 365 days. You read 47. Thank you.
Yeah. But so there was the class pizza party, but also there would be little stickers that you got, like special stickers that would go on your Book It pin. And I forgot exactly what, there might've been something else you used to take in as proof, but I forgot what it was. So you have your class party as well, but you would also, once you filled up a certain number of books read, is you could take it and you could go to, because I remember going to Pizza Hut and you would get like a little personal pan pizza. And I swear the golden crust, the greasy golden crust, and you know, these pizzas aren't very big, but for a kid, you get your own pizza that you don't have to share. It was incredible. We also, I don't know if you guys had this as well, but I think it was connected to the Book It program, or maybe it was another similar literacy program, but we had something like that for Ponderosa, which I don't know, I don't remember really how big Ponderosas were. They were chain. I don't know if it was national and whatnot, but again, like something similar where you read a certain number of books and you would get a free meal, free something, which like you said, I think it's a really cool way. And it was fun. Like it was fun to accumulate points and to work towards a goal together. And it definitely did make literacy and education fun. So I take my hat off to anyone. Same thing, I think, not in the same vein, but in a similar vein to Jeopardy. Like, I think Alex Trebek is one of the coolest people on TV, or was, may he rest in peace, because he made education fun. Like, I loved when 7:30, like I said before, Wheel of Fortune was at 7, 7:30 was Jeopardy. And I feel like Wheel of Fortune kind of eased you in, because Wheel of Fortune was kind of brain teasers. It got your brain warmed up. But at 7:30 came the real stuff. Yes. And I love that Alex Trebek, even though I feel like on the surface might not have been the coolest, he wasn't like an athlete or I don't know, but there was just something about him where he was clearly a learned man, but it was also, there's a level of fun. I don't know. There's just something about Jeopardy that was just extremely appealing as a kid. And even as I got older into my college years, and it's a little bit different now without Alex, because I'm just so closely attached to, to Alex and the show. But I take my hat off to anyone who really makes a concerted effort to, and teachers as well, who make learning not a chore for their kids and the kids they teach. I think hats off to you.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. Like when you want to learn something and you have an incentive that you're like, actually, you know, and that's like a, obviously like a great trait to have in life, have an incentive, go chase it. You know what I'm saying? I have to do this in order to get that. Like establishing that at a young age, man, it's something else. And like you said, Alex Trebek made it seem fun, right? Like a lot of all the like the facts and everything were always interesting facts, little random facts that you wouldn't necessarily learn in school, but it was cool to be learning. You felt like, It wasn't like you said, it wasn't a chore. It wasn't a task. You know, you're having fun actually learning. So, yeah.
I think one thing, because you were saying like, oh, it may not have been, it's like seemed like the coolest guy or like an athlete or like, you know, sunglasses and leather jacket. But I think that was one of the first experiences that as kids that we had to see, like, this guy seems like a master of his craft. And that's where I think that came from. Like any kid in our age, like watching that, you say like, if you line up like 10 people and Alex Trebek is in it and they go, who's the smartest person here? You're like, it's probably Trebek. It's probably Trebek.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I know he didn't write the answers, but he delivered them with such a comfort and an ease that it seemed like he knew what he was talking about. So he just seemed like a very bright human. And he just presented the show in a way that was really cool and enjoyable.
You know who else did a great job with that and still does do a great job with that? Bill Nye.
Oh, true. Respect to the legend.
Man.
Yeah.
My God. When the teacher, you know, those days where they roll that card in with that big, big TV on the front of it. And she said, and you know what's in science class? You're like, oh, Bill.
Did y'all have Laserdisc, by the way?
Yes.
I remember there was a
big ass.
Yes, they were enormous. So there are a few times where that cart was just it had a big Laserdisc below it. And I don't remember Laserdisc. I don't know what the plan was for Laserdisc, but they never became a household
item. No, they didn't. Yeah. Mm-mm. We actually, my dad works at Boston College, and every now and then I would go into work with him, especially over the summers. And one of the ways I would occupy my time is I would go down to the media library and we'd go and I just pick out a movie to watch. And I remember vividly several times I would go down to the media center and I would ask them for the movie Excalibur. And it would just be the big ass Laserdisc and, you know, put it in and watch it. Cause I used to like King Arthur and all that, but they had a whole ass library full of these discs. Right. And like, what are they doing now? I feel like it was such a short time frame that they were a thing. And it was supposed to be like the next, like level of technology. I mean, CDs as well. Right. I mean, obviously I think CDs were more popular, but, yeah, Laserdisc, man. What a blast from the past. So where crazy. Are the Laserdiscs now? What have they done with all the Laserdiscs?
That's what we said. So for people who are younger and don't know what Laserdiscs are, if you haven't Googled it yet, a Laserdisc was essentially a record-sized CD. So take like a regular CD, you know what a CD is, I hope, and then make it the size of a 12-inch record, like a vinyl.
Yeah.
And now if you didn't know what that was, you're thinking, that sounds ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, it looked ridiculous.
It did.
But if we can find some, we should try to find movies that we haven't seen, not watching them on streaming services, but finding them on Laserdisc and getting together. Why? Having a Laserdisc party.
such a waste of time for no reason. You got all these streaming platforms. Yeah. You go find a Laserdisc. Yeah. You go find a Laserdisc player, somewhere to plug it in, the jacks to go into the TV, because you know they have no kind of like Bluetooth or whatever. Whoa, I don't know.
Bro, I'm going to pick one up right now. I'm going to get one on Amazon.
It sounds like so unsatisfying. Like, what? Like literally no payoff.
Bro, Star Wars Trilogy Laserdisc Special Edition. Let's go.
Jesus.
You might get something fun for your birthday next year.
What am I going to do with a Laserdisc?
Dan said he's got Terminator 2 Laserdisc right next to him.
Wow.
You
got
to turn on your camera, please.
Yeah, you got to get eyes on this.
All right.
He was chomping at the bit. He knew we were going to ask him.
Laser disc.
Ooh, my time to shine.
Speaking of, my God.
Can you show the people?
Yes. There we go. The guy here.
Jesus.
Why do you, Why do you have that?
I love Terminator 2. I got a ton of Terminator 2 stuff. I've got like 19 different versions of it. And a fan from Giant Bomb sent this to me years ago. So always prominently placed. Two discs.
Double disc.
I think you got to flip it over halfway through.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Good stuff.
It's crazy that all of the information on that could fit on like the smallest thumb drive.
Oh yeah.
Today. Oh, yeah. Technology is insane. Big question, especially for you too, Dan. You just stay for this.
Sure.
So
sure.
Pyramids. Who made them? Let's go. Whoa. Get controversial.
What made you think of that?
Huh? Yeah.
Is this an alien thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm guessing not aliens. That's my guess.
So there was a show called Fact or Faked that I went on and I was a guest, and this wasn't quite pyramids, but Stonehenge. Also, people have a lot of, you know, hesitation to say that humans did it or not. But there was a guy in Detroit. I forget where in Detroit it was, but we went to his house. And what he does is he builds these, like, I don't know, 2-ton monoliths and builds up like Stonehenge type structures in his yard. And he does it. He has like this little, so it's called a Herodotus machine. I think Herodotus was like some pharaoh in Egypt or something. I don't know. But it like tips it up a little bit and they put something underneath and then up a millimeter the other side. So you're able to elevate the, and he does this all by himself. So you're able to like raise like 2-ton monolithic concrete structures by yourself. So he's shown like how it could have possibly worked. But what's crazy to me is the fact that, like, you know, they're very like astrologically precise. So that to me is like, that's the real, like, you know, what's really impressive is the fact that, like, and I don't know all the different, like, you know, facts that they spew or whatever, but yeah, it really makes you question about like foreign life.
I'm definitely open to the idea that there's life elsewhere. And for a while I was open to, and I guess I suppose I am somewhat open to the idea that the pyramids were built by aliens. But if I have the ability to make a pyramid, if I'm that technologically advanced that I could just, I don't know, if I'm aliens, I'm doing something else. I'm doing something cooler than just building some pyramids that y'all can house your dead in. I'm not, you know what I mean? Y'all gonna feel my impact. Right. I think if I have the ability to travel all the way to another planet and build some kind of structure that lasts for thousands of years, I'm doing something cooler than that. So I don't know. I'm just going to assume that whoever built that, the Egyptians were just on it and then they knew what they were doing. Right. And they're very good at it, even though I still do believe. So there's also what's interesting, too, is I feel like we've also as a society kind of glossed over the fact that the government has said, oh, there are these unidentified flying objects now, and here's some of the materials. And they're not necessarily saying that this is proof of alien life, but they're saying, oh yeah, there are UFOs, and we don't really, we don't know where they come from. And we just kind of put that out there, and people, I think it was during the pandemic, so we had too much else going on.
Yeah.
So we just said, oh, that's cool, but you know, we're moving on to the next thing. But I do find that to be interesting. That is compelling.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, so to your point, E, I don't necessarily think that like aliens built them, but I do think that aliens gave some tips or some technology. I'm not saying they sat down and like oversaw everything. I'm saying check out the technology for this machine. I don't know what all of that information looks like. I'm not saying that they came down and built them, but I'm saying that in order for us to move further along, maybe we had some help.
Check this out? Like they came down and taught a class?
Yeah, so they exchanged some information. Rather than saying, hey, we can go at warp speeds and there's a billion galaxies and all this, y'all's brains aren't ready for this. But we want to throw you a bone. Here's a little bit of something. Like, Dan, do you really think that from, when did the regular Nintendo drop?
1984 in the States, I want to say.
You think that we got PS5 technology this fast, just being humans?
Yes. Oh, come on. Yeah, technology is exponential. Yeah.
Bro, no way. No way. No way. We humans fight each other in wars and they kill and they're terrible. We couldn't make that technology by ourselves when that's like the
humans also do good things.
I know they do, but I'm just saying there has to be beings who are crazy and they everything is peace and perfect and they got all the technology on the in the universes, and they come down and they throw a bone. Like, hey, you know what? You guys have done well the past 20 years. Here's a little bit more information. If we don't know what those ships are.
To clarify, you believe the PlayStation 5 is like, you know, Sony, and, you know, they're out in Redwood City in Japan, and Mark Cerny, and also aliens. They like, there is also credits to the console, aliens.
there's a little bit. I'm not saying they gave us PS5, but I'm saying that there's an exchange of information that advances our technology a little bit.
Maybe Dreamcast. I'd buy a Dreamcast.
And you're using PS5 as your example, not the fact that we have nuclear weapons or that this phone in my hand is one of the most powerful computing devices, you know, that's around. So PS5 is your example.
Are you having trouble putting in whatever variable you'd like to? Why are we hung up on the PS5 example? I don't understand this.
You use the leap from Nintendo to PS5.
Talking to Dan, who is a gamer, he understands that very quickly. Nintendo PS5 is a huge technological jump. I mean, there were increments.
There were increments. They didn't go from the NES to the PS5. There were four PS5s or four PSs.
I'm aware.
And over 30 years passed. 30 years is a long time.
It's a long time.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's all relative, I suppose.
I'm thinking big picture here, boys.
Also,
big brain thoughts.
Also, I know, I guess they use hieroglyphics too as their, I don't know, descriptive language. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah.
But wouldn't there be some kind of documentation?
Isn't there?
Of this alien visit?
Isn't there?
What?
Look, let me look up something on a vase. Let me look up something.
I mean, from the Egyptians who had this powwow, according to you, with the aliens, they sat around in a circle, cross-legged, and talked about ways to build pyramids.
You know, there might have been other methods of communication, and obviously the way that they're able to, like, document it through hieroglyphics is the way that they displayed what they experienced. And I don't know any specifics. Again, I might be actually completely making this up, but I know that there's a lot of, like, hieroglyphics that do depict, like, higher powers and sources. Even, like, the Mayans and, like, the images that they have in their temples, you see, like, people or beings coming from outer space and, you know, just frolicking with the people on Earth. So, yeah, I mean, it could very well be something that people could imagine. I feel like we've, through different generations, like, you know, we've had that fantasy or that thought that there is something beyond, even still today. But I don't know. There could be the possibility that it actually happened, and this is the way that they documented it, too.
Yeah, it's a possibility, and that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying this definitely happened. I'm saying there's a possibility, because with the universe as large as it is, what's the quote? It's there's one of two things. We're either alone in the universe or we're not. Both are equally terrifying. If you think that we are the only beings, sentient beings, in this universe, in any universe, like the hubris of a person that thinks that there's not life outside of Earth. That's insane to me.
It's real arrogant.
And to think that there's no possibility that they're miles smarter than us? Why would that not be a possibility?
I agree with that. I just don't know if I'm sold that we were visited by them and they traveled all this distance to sit down and say, hey, let's build some graves.
Who said that they weren't just flying around and they happened upon Earth and they said, oh, this is cool. Let's do something with them. Let's do a collab. You know, it's your boys, the aliens, ready to do a collab. Go ahead, like, subscribe on your boys' YouTube. You'll get that in about 3,000 years. You'll get it. You know,
but they didn't get any credit. So it's like you do a collab with Nike and they never credit you.
What if I'm doing it for a charity and I don't care to put my name on it because I'm just a good person? Because humans do good things, right? They do good things too.
Why can't
aliens?
Not like this.
Why can't aliens?
Whoa.
Well, then I apologize, I restate that to Kofi. There we go.
Wow. I'm not denying that it's a possibility. I'm on your side.
Never mind. I got fired up. Listen, I apologize.
Wait a minute.
I sense my wrong. I apologize. I got fired up. I apologize.
I'm not sold on. Yeah. As far as aliens, the thing I'm not sold on is, like, you know, I think there's a good possibility that there's intelligent life out there. But in all these movies and depictions and everything, they're always, like, roughly humanoid size. You know, they're like 3 feet, like Mars Attacks guys. Sure. Or, like, you know, 6 or 7 feet Independence Day guys. And they have eyes, they have heads and kind of appendages and stuff. Like, who's to say if there wasn't another planet that it wouldn't be like, oh, they're 800 feet tall and invisible, or human eyes can't see them. You know, what are the odds they would be roughly human sized and shaped and everything?
Yeah, I guess that's the mystery, right? They could be 800 feet tall. They could be a lot smaller than we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, to where we wouldn't even know. I always wonder, like, so you talk about, like, having a Petri dish, right? And you put, like, whatever germs in there, and then you watch the germs like grow, and that's their span of life, and they just, you know, invade on certain things. Like, what if like we are also in like the petri dish of something that's maybe these 800 feet tall beings, and you think about like atoms, right? Like hydrogen, water, H2O, hydrogen, oxygen, whatever, that's all like molecules, or at least the way that it's depicted is in like molecular form, which is also the same way that our planets are depicted, which are also like, you know, rotating around a nucleus, you know? So maybe we're like the small beings and part of something that's even bigger. And when we have the way that we perceive time and our life is obviously different than a way a fruit fly perceives its time in life and development, right? So it's all relative versus like somebody or an alien being coming from who knows where a billion years goes by in like a second. Who knows, right? Like, I feel like it's all relative.
You just described the ending to Men in Black. Where it's like,
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I feel like there's no way that we can be the only things out there. There's just no way.
So to bring it back, do you think that Rob has maybe made a small colony in a petri dish that has now your personal little universe?
I mean, I suppose it's possible. I feel like he'd have better things to do than that.
Yeah, you might be surprised. You
don't know.
If he has a lab.
This is true.
Under a microscope, it's a bunch of little Big E heads.
Yeah.
That's disturbing. I'm open to it. I'm open to the idea of all these things. I just, I tend to think that we often are bored as humans, and we're searching for the meaning of life. And we want to think, like, one reason a lot of people lean on conspiracy theories, because they're interesting and they capture our imagination. But, you know, if these things aren't true, life is kind of dull. We're just here.
So,
it's fun to imagine these things. And I just tend to think life is probably more boring than we want to believe. But, you know, it's fine.
Well, just to go back to your video game analogy, I think I would buy the alien technology just for the NES Zapper, the Duck Hunt gun. There's no sensors. Okay, you don't attach anything to your TV. Have you read how that thing works?
That is very true. Because even you have the time crisis when you have to have sensors around your TV.
Everything else, you needed a sensor for it to talk to the TV and do directional stuff. It was using some weird alien technology if you read how that worked.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah, it was something like it would like flash for a split second. When you pulled the trigger, the screen would flash. And I might be getting this wrong, but most of it would be white. But then the area that the ducks were in would flash black, like black boxes. And there was like a little, it wasn't a camera, but some sort of sensor inside the gun that could detect if it was pointed at the black mark on the screen and then send the info back to the NES to let you know if you shot the duck. Whoa. This is in like the 80s and it worked perfectly.
See, that's not humans, dude. Come on.
Well, to me, the thing is that like it's scary, right? Because I always feel like the government, there's obviously things that they cannot release to us in terms of technological advances, because if it gets into the wrong hands, something might happen. And here goes my conspiracy theory, right? But it's interesting because it's like, okay, for all the stuff that we throughout time have known, there's always been a group of people that knows more. So for all the stuff that we know now, I'm just like, I feel like I'd be blown away by what the powers that be know in terms of technology, you know, time travel, or I don't know, metamorphosis, or, you know what I mean? Like whatever that might be. But again, like I am a bored human, like he said, with the vivid imagination. So I don't know.
It is interesting when you think about the leaps in understanding and knowledge. It really is. Have you ever heard the reason why Kellogg's cornflakes were invented?
No.
Because people legitimately thought it would curb, how to delicately put this? You know when a young man comes of a certain age and he finds out all of the things his body can do and how, you know, so people, graham crackers as well, didn't run the trap. But these are real things. And there are also ideas, and this is, we took like a health and sports studies class in college, and we learned things like that. This was supposed to curb those habits. Even things like our belief on the physical activity that young women and girls could have, because they thought it would destroy their wombs. Like I don't even think for a long time, women couldn't even be in PE classes, girls. So, and this is not that long ago. We're talking probably, I don't know, 100 years or so. So it's profound when you think, like, what will people know in 100, 200 years from now that we hold on to as fact? Because there certainly will be massive leaps in understanding and knowledge. But yeah, it's very interesting. Even like we laugh at stuff from the early, like the 19 teens and the early 20th century that seems comical now. But I wonder how much of our life, much like looking back at our fashion from college when we saw in those tall tees thinking we were hot, like we look back and we scoff now. And that's only what, 10, that's like 15 years.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Like one that really stands out in my brain is smoking, like cigarettes. Like obviously to us, it's like, of course that's bad for you. Duh. How would you not know this? But like people just, it wasn't a thing.
They didn't know.
Everybody smoked. It's so wild to me.
I think like when we were little, we always talked about like, okay, it'd be cool to have a car that would drive itself or a car that flies, you know, and now we have cars that can legitimately drive you from point A to point B. You can sleep in your car and have the car like just legit drive you. So it's like a reality. And as time goes by, that's going to be like the standard, right? Where we would just like fantasize about that. And I know they also have like magnetic, like roads or whatever, where the cars also have magnets on the bottom, so, or like electromagnets or something like that, to where they literally float. So what is there going to be a point in time where like all of our roads are replaced by these like magnetic or electromagnetic roads that cars will then float and drive themselves? Like, so I don't know. It's weird. Our imagination oftentimes becomes reality, and it's happening so much, like just exponentially quicker. You talk about from the 80s until now. Like, I mean, even like, honestly, look at the iPhone, right? From what, early 2000s until now, like the advances are crazy. So facial recognition, right? Thumbprint, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild. It's wild.
I'm just trying to think, what's something that you like fantasized about as a little kid that is a real thing now? Like, so you said flying cars.
Yep.
I'm trying to think.
I don't know if there is anything. I feel like it's been a little disappointing, if I'm being honest. been a little disappointing.
You watching the Jets is like, oh, yeah. Bro.
I can't
2020
wait.
Is going to be lit.
Bro, even if you watch some of these, it's interesting too when people will post on Twitter stuff, and I can't think of any, maybe like Terminator, stuff from like maybe the 90s when we were kids, and then this post-apocalyptic future, and it's set in like 2020, and I'm looking around, and I guess we assumed in 25, 30 years that more things would have developed, but when I look at these depictions of the post-apocalyptic future and what it's supposed to look like, and we're in present day, and my house isn't floating, or I don't have, a rocket ship to go to school in or something, I'm pretty disappointed.
Yeah. I thought you were going to be happy that we're not living in a post-apocalyptic 2020. That's where I thought you were going.
No. If the world is going to hell, but I have really cool things to fly around in, it's okay. It's cool. It all evens out.
Because you can still go get the bowl.
My poke bowl, yeah.
You can go get a poke bowl, so you're fine.
Right.
I don't have to walk. I can just fly. Yeah. Dara just sent something about the maglev trains. This is like the magnetic trains, how they work. SC maglev, or superconducting magnetic trains, were developed by the Central Japan Railway Company and the Railway Technical Research Institute beginning in the 1970s. Wow. Maglev trains work on the principle of magnetic repulsion between the cars and the track. The word maglev is actually a combination of the words magnetic and levitation, maglev. The magnetic levitation, or floating, of the train is achieved through the use of an electrodynamic suspension system, or EDS. So we're there, man.
Man.
It's crazy.
I'm trying to find what year Quantum Leap was set in. Yeah. I want to say it was set into the year 2000, I want to say. And it's super interesting to me when shows from the 80s or the 70s, like literally just what he explained, but the fact that they have not only time travel, but like, time travel into another person's body and live their life technology.
Right. Right.
But then earlier, like you said, we don't know what they know. So like, do we have that?
No. Yeah, I don't know. Like, we are not privy to the knowledge on a widespread basis. It's crazy.
But then when you get to the tipping point where technology is too advanced, the AI is too smart, And now we're in a battle with the machines for our planet.
We might be there.
Hey, that's coming
already.
That's coming.
You think so? Have you seen the? I think it's Boston Science. Is that the company that invents stuff?
The dogs.
Yeah.
The dancing robots. When robots have that kind of dexterity and ability to move, that is frightening.
Yeah,
like break dancing.
It is frightening, and so easily too. And they have them doing like 10-foot like box jumps. Like I don't know.
There's the one robot. Robot named Sophia. Have you seen her? So she, you can like interview her.
Oh God.
I'll put a link in.
Oh God.
But she's been around for a while.
And she has like a pseudo skin or something.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
So she looks like a person.
Does she move around or she just sit there and
answer? Possibly now. I don't know.
Oh God. I don't like that.
She's
that's a like that episode of Black Mirror, right? When the one,
one?
The one lady's right. husband had passed away, but she got a clone.
Oh yeah, that was too much.
So trippy.
It was too much. Black Mirror is very good. So for people who haven't watched Black Mirror, I highly recommend it if you're like of age, because it's heavy stuff. Heavy stuff. Not a kid show by any means, but it's good. But it has a lot of those types of things where it's like, man, technology is maybe we're not ready for this.
Yeah.
That final season was a little hit or miss, though, if you ask me.
Yeah.
That's not that good. The others were very, very good. I'm reading one article that says AI humanoid Sophia is granted first ever robot visa and speaks with the president. I'm not sure which president, but again, this is unsettling.
Oh, my God. why did you get a visa for a robot?
To travel.
I'm not sure. You know? Yeah. Yeah. To go from
get around, be a citizen. Because then we get into that question of like, what is life? Is life the soul? Do our souls real? Do we believe in this? Like, what happens when we get to the point where there is an artificial intelligence that is able to feel and do all the same things that we do, but not need to go to the bathroom or do any of the things that like slow us down? Not,
right.
They don't need to sleep or anything. Like, what happens? Because now then we become inefficient and unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, there's a really good movie. I don't know if you've seen Her, but I highly suggest it. It's Joaquin Phoenix and the robot humanoid, the robot is voiced by Scarlett Johansson, but it explores, it's a man, and this is a bit of a spoiler, but the premise you learn pretty quickly, at least in the trailer you do, but the man falls for the AI. And why wouldn't you? You know, it kind of explores, because oftentimes when you talk about, I would imagine for most people, when they talk about why, maybe not why they, I guess like why they fell in love. Like initially you start with attraction, but there are qualities with this other person that really have very little to do with their physicality. When you think about their ability to empathize or to listen or to be giving, a lot of these things with really well-developed AI, you would get a similar reaction to. So I could very much see with the development of AI, more men and women falling in love or having relationships with AI, which is very hard to fathom. And it seems very wrong to a lot of us. Yeah. But I think the concept is really interesting because I can see an avenue where people would have relationships with AI and they'd be fairly healthy relationships, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, because if the whole point of what we're doing is that connection, we always say that human connection because it's the only one that we have available to us currently, you know? So if you do have this being, like you're saying, that checks off all these boxes of, you know, they listen to me, they enjoy the same things, like we have the same sense of humor, like those are the things that like actually matter in a relationship. So at what point do people just like, because does it feel the same if, like, let's say, like, we made our own. Like, if we, in our homes, we have a setup and we, like, almost like, and this is, I guess, disrespectful to AI when we get there, so I don't mean it in a bad way. But, like, if we have, like, our own, like, Build-A-Bear, and we go and we pick what we want from this AI, and then we take them home, and, like, they just live with us because they're our perfect partners because we've made them. And anything that we find out along the way, oh, I need to tweak something here, here, and here. But then it's like the people who are super toxic, does it turn into a thing where toxic people are making toxic AIs, and then eventually those relationships are broken up. Now there's just toxic AIs all floating around. Or do those toxic people create AIs that bring the toxicity out of them and put it away and turn them into like good people? Because now they have this useful quality relationship.
And does this become so common that you're like, oh, I'm in an interracial relationship, and it just means like, yo, you date a robot.
That's right. Just dated a robot, bro.
Right. Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah,
you have the people like Sharon. Don't you dare bring that metal and steel in my house. He is not taking you to prom. No way, no how. Like, there's gonna be like AI races, dude.
We need a guess who's coming to dinner with robots. Yes. Humans and robots
trading places. Yes.
There's so many possibilities.
Oh man,
I'm all in on this. I can't wait. I think that's the future I want to see. It's just a future where we just live with our, and maybe that will ease the racial tension between us being different skin colors or whatnot, because we'll realize, hey, we're all flesh and blood. And we got these robots to deal with. I don't need to worry about you. You know, we're all cool. We're flesh and blood. Let's keep an eye on these robots here. They're the ones we need to worry about. I think there's something there, man. Robots. I think there's something there. Just imagine a society where your coworkers, your friends, you got a couple robot friends, you got a couple, you know what I mean? Oh, I dated a robot. You know what I mean?
No big deal.
Yeah. We just live amongst the robots peacefully.
But then I have so many questions because there's no setup yet. So like you said, you could have, if there was like the store where you get them, or if a company's just like, hey, we're just going to put like 1,000 AI in your area because, you know, we're doing this thing. And then they, you know, they go and get jobs and they apply and they have to go through the same processes that we do. It would be interesting. Like, so people like swiping on Tinder, like,
whoa,
are you a robot or not? Because like, I can't tell. And it's maybe it's just ambiguous. Man. You're not sure. And like, do we just slowly get filtered out? Right. It's not even like a hostile takeover.
do the robots, like, do they reproduce, or do they like, do they die? Do they, you know what I'm saying? Do they just keep on populating and start creating themselves? And
they
like,
probably could, you know, if they get smart enough, they could probably make their own robot forces.
So there'd be no use for us.
For forces.
I don't know.
Because we surely would not be the ideal partners for this AI. Because of all of our humanistic flaws.
Maybe they'll keep us around like pets. Like, you know how humans love, a lot of people love horses and dogs?
Wow.
Maybe they'll treat us like that.
Oh my God.
Take care of us, feed us, let us run around in the yard a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Bruh.
I feel like they would cull the herd. They'd be like, well, we only need about 10,000 of you, so.
Yeah.
Let's everybody run this Ninja Warrior course, so we'll hope you're in first place.
Go.
I think we live peacefully with the robots.
I'd like that.
Yeah, I would as well.
Man,
right.
Let's put some investment from our bump boy business.
What percentage of the bump boy budget are we going to put it towards today?
The R&D for our own AI. So last question, then we got to wrap things up. If you had the option, would you clone yourself?
Man, I want to say no, but I'm also so intrigued to see how this clone behaves that I'm kind of into it. If his personality is like mine, I think we'd be fine. Because I think he'd stay away from me and give me my space. But if he's not, man, even having a twin to me is real freaky. So like, clone is another step of freakiness. I'm gonna say no, but I'm intrigued.
I would say that I would, but I don't want to hang out with them. Like, I don't want to hang out with myself. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so what happens to them?
I don't know. If someone needs a Kofi out there and you need a clone, sure, why not? Go ahead, have at it. You know?
Well, think about how many times, like, I don't feel like going to work today. Go work Raw for me. You know what I mean? Like, that would be great.
But if they're your clone,
they don't
feel like doing it either.
That's it. It is your job. You are the clone. You guys watch Invincible, by the way?
I haven't yet. I just got, I'm going to be pretentious. I just got all of the books. I want to read first.
The books are amazing too.
I actually got the books too. Shout out to Arun Singh.
Yes.
Send me the books. Yes, Arun.
Thank you very much. Big shout out. Nice. Thank you.
But yes, he sent me the books as well. So I need to dive into
it. Oh my God. It's so good. It's so good. And the series right now is like doing the books justice too. So, but there's an enemy, and this isn't a spoiler, but he's a clone and he keeps like cloning himself, but then they argue about like who's the clone and like who's not. So I was just thinking about that.
Oh
but, yeah. Funny. Jeez,
I'm intrigued.
It's a lot. Yeah. I don't think I could.
Yeah.
It'd be very weird. Cause I'd just be worried about like, what do we do with him?
Yeah.
Like, do
you
we
gotta entertain them?
Like, is it if it's full clone, like you still have to go to the bathroom and eat and you have needs? Like, now do I have to take care of you now? Or like, can you get a job? But if you're getting a job and people and you're my clone, are people gonna be like, hey, this is Austin? So they're like, if clone Austin's out there messing up, then it's gonna come back on me. And I can't have that.
He's your clone.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
I can't believe you.
You gotta vouch for him.
Yeah. Hey, we're getting referral calls like, hey, Austin, we got your clone here. So should we hire him? And now I have to be like, I mean, he'll do the job, but I mean, I just don't know if you can count on him to be self-motivated. Like, I don't want to have that conversation.
Or you want the job, so you bury him. Yeah. But I could, you know, he really can't handle it, but I could. I can.
Yeah. Interesting. Austin, you're on speakerphone. Hey, I heard that. I heard what you said about me. I didn't ask to be here.
Speaking of as well, there's a, I don't know if we talked about this before, but there's a Paul Rudd series called Living With Yourself about he clones himself. Actually, Tom Brady's in it briefly too. Like the inside, there's like a little cameo and a joke that Tom Brady clones himself. Yes. Like he just had this cloning studio, whatever. So anyways, it's really good. So if you want to, I think it helps you explore the possible pitfalls with cloning yourself. So if you want to, if you're thinking about it. Living With Yourself. I think it's on Netflix still.
Okay.
But yes, I enjoyed it.
It's pretty funny. I just remember, as you were explaining, as I remember watching it, it's pretty funny.
I enjoyed it. It's good.
Yeah, yeah. But great. That was an episode of our podcast.
It was. I didn't know where we were going at first. And then I'm really, the AI rabbit hole we went down and technology and all that jazz.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
And I've felt bad since I wah-wahed on you when we were talking. I apologize. I feel really bad about it. I felt bad since I've done it. Like I almost texted you. I was thinking about texting you the whole time that we've been talking, and I said no, I'm gonna wait until we're done. But if I see an opening, I'm gonna apologize again because I feel I'm probably still gonna text you, like not even in the group, just directly to you. Apologies. I'm sorry.
No. It's good. There's a certain level of banter that goes on during the podcast recording that is forgiven. I feel like you can say whatever you want on the podcast.
Yeah.
And it can't be taken personally. Personally.
No.
So, okay. So
we start every episode off with no offense. So
no offense. Bless your heart, dude. But
right.
Oh, okay. It's okay. We do have to go for real for this one. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the fact that Kofi yelled at a drone last night.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we try to have fun out there. You're gonna be on Raw Talk late night. You know, make it worthwhile. They try to cut us off. You know, if you're going to have the New Day on Raw Talk, then you need to allocate the proper amount of time. You might not even need to have like two other guests. Just let us be on there for the 30 minutes, you know, the entirety and just let us do our thing. But don't just, you know, put us on and then try to run us off. Yeah, okay, we're done with you. Nah, we ain't done yet. We ain't done yet. So, you know, we had to, speaking of like, robotic technology and all that. I hope that if the drone, if you're listening, don't take it personal. It was just my character. Just talking a little junk. But you know what I'm saying? Don't go get all your robotic and mechanical friends and bring them to my house. I don't want that. Okay. I was just trying to entertain the masses. That's all that was.
And it's because you said you recently watched Love, Death, and Robots, which was it's on Netflix. And that was Mikazi was the one that mentioned it to you.
Yes.
Samoa Joe actually first mentioned it to me. And I realized that now I want my role to be just you guys talking. And anytime something reminds me of a series or a movie, then I jump in and say, oh, wait a second. There's a show I watch. Because I realized I did a lot of that the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys ever seen Who's the Boss?
Oh, man. We could do a whole episode of that on Love, Death, and Robots, too. And I thought it was called, Love, Death, and Robots. But great series.
I gotta watch it.
Very trippy.
I gotta watch it. JoJo's with me too.
But nice. Yeah.
It's a bunch of, for anyone who's interested, it's a bunch of short films, and they all pretty much have to, there's like robots of some sort, some kind of AI in every single episode, but they're all independent of each other, a bunch of like short films.
A bunch of people told me, so I don't know if you guys would have seen this anime called Robot Carnival. No? Okay. Somebody told me it was like that. It's just a bunch of shorts with all like the top animators of anime at that time making a short about robots. But anyway,
yeah,
whatever. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate
you
all.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
If you guys enjoyed this podcast, which we know you did because it goes all over the place, now that we come in with no idea what we're going to say. we just going out there.
We're like the old jazz musicians. You know what I mean? We don't know how to read music. Ooh. We didn't study at the Louvre. I know you don't study at the Louvre, but I was trying to think of
Juilliard.
Juilliard, yeah.
The Louvre.
The point is, we didn't study at any of your fancy academies to learn how to do this. No. We just out here bebopping and scatting all over the place. That's what we're doing.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, he said what he said.
This is only from, this Zoom call is only from like the nipples up, man. You don't know what I'm doing down here. Don't tell me what I am and what I'm not doing with the bottom half of my body.
I can't be a part of that. You don't know that.
Can't or won't.
His thoughts and views are his own.
But I'm saying we're out here just freestyling it, you know?
That's right. And
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
A little skippy doop doop bop 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 bop. All right. If you like what you heard, go ahead and tell your friends about it. Tell them to listen wherever they listen to their podcast. Just type in The New Day in the search bar. Click the pink picture with the three black guys' heads on it. That's us. If you're on Apple, give us that 5-star review. Respect to E. There you go. Just live in it because it feels good. But yeah, thank you for listening. Go to UDDShop.com. You can check out that New Day podcast shirt. You know, go pick it up for your boys. And check me out on Up, Up, Down, Down. That's on the YouTubes all the time. And check out G4 on socials at G4TV on all social platforms. That's all I got.
Well, you can follow me on the Instagram and the Twitter at True Kofi, and I said that slow to make it seem like I had a lot more, since you had so many different avenues that they can participate in. I do not. So you can catch me on the Instagram and the Twitter. So I'll repeat the ones that I have to make it seem like more. at True Kofi.
Well done. Well done. You can go to at WWE Biggie on Twitter and on Instagram to see the nonsense that I put out there. You can go to HBO Max to watch season one of Laser Wolf.
Ooh.
And season two also included your boys. Hopefully that'll be on there very, very soon. You can also go to did you say the UUDD shop for the podcast shirt?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I forgot. I apologize. That's your part.
No, it's fine. I know you said the Up, Up, Down, Down shop. I don't know if you said it for the podcast shirt, but thank you for saying that as well. You can also, where else can you go to for things? Oh, you can also go to Yelp.com if you want reviews on things. You can go to WhiteCastle.com if you're looking for some sliders. where else can you go? You can go to Wish.com to buy some cheap stuff, I guess. You can go all over the place. Right. They don't pay me to say that, but I'm out of places you can go to. So that's all. I'm done. Cut me off. Somebody cut me off.